Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Luke chapter number 11, and I want to read you a few verses right here. And give you a little thought tonight. I'm not going to get done with this tonight, and I started to really push to get done with it tonight, and I thought, man, there's no need in rushing through it, amen? And we'll just pick back up next Wednesday night where we leave off at tonight, and if the Lord comes back before then, and I don't get to finish it, Brother Robert will take care of it next Wednesday night. So Luke chapter number 11, some of y'all didn't even get that. Luke chapter number 11, look with me, verse number 1. I'm going to let you remain seated. The Bible said this, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And I'll just say this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but evidently they saw something in the prayer life of Christ that made them want to pray like he does, because they said when he was done praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord. So we know that they was there with the Lord praying, and they have heard him pray, they have saw him pray, and when he gets done praying, they look at him and say, hey, Lord, why don't you teach us to pray? So evidently they saw something in the prayer life of Christ that made them want to pray like he does. And I want to ask you this question in passing tonight. Does others see anything in your prayer life that makes them want to pray like you? Does others come up to you and say, hey, Brother Josh, will you teach me how to pray? Hey, Brother Stan, will you teach me how to pray? Does the younger kids come up and say, hey, Brother Peyton, will you teach me how to pray? And very few people that I would say teach me how to pray besides the Lord Jesus Christ. My daddy's definitely one of them. My grandpa Barker was definitely one of them. Brother Milton Taylor is definitely one of them. I got a recording on my phone. And he was preaching for us, and the girls was with me, and we took him back to the motel, and we started to get out at the motel. He started to get out at the motel, and he said, can I pray for you before I leave? I said, yes, sir. I said, absolutely. And I'll never, you that knows Brother Taylor knows he's about deaf, and he took his hat off. You know, he wears that hat. He took his hat off, and he stretched like that. And I thought, well, is he going to pray for me? Is he going to whoop me? I didn't know what was fixing to happen. And he stretched his arms out, and he grabbed a hold of the dash on the truck. Boy, he started praying for me and my family. And I thought, man, this is a man that means business with the Lord. Lord, teach us that they saw something in his praying that made them want to pray like he did. So I ask you tonight, does others see something in your praying that makes them want to ask you, hey, teach me how to pray. Teach me how to pray. He goes on to say in verse number 2, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, I pray over the next few minutes tonight, God, that you would help us. I pray, God, that you give us clarity of thought. God, for a little while, I pray that you'd clear my mind from the events of today, and may I, Father, recall the things that we've studied, Lord, leading into tonight, and Lord, may we get understanding from your word. Help our prayer life, God. Make us better prayer warriors. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, right off the start tonight, I want to give you just 3 or 4 very practical things about praying, and then we're going to get into the message, all right? And we're going to look at this model prayer here statement by statement and go through it. But here's some things. If you want to write down just some very practical things that will help you in your prayer life, can I say this? Number 1, have a set place to pray. have a set place to pray. Now, I know that we can pray anywhere. The Bible says pray without ceasing. We can pray going down the road. We can pray sitting in a service. We can pray while we're working. But I would say this to you. Have a set place. Have somewhere that when you go to that place, that's your place of prayer. We've got an altar in our home. Matter of fact, Brother David Edwards' other brother-in-law built that altar for us, and some of y'all have seen our altar in our house, but that's a place that we pray at. I pray in my office. A lot of times I pray sitting at my desk. I pray a lot sitting at my desk, and I pray a lot sitting in that seat right there. I pray a lot behind the pulpit, just kneel down behind the pulpit. But have a place that you go pray. Matter of fact, he talks about that in Matthew chapter number 6. He talks about going to the closet. And a lot of people will say, my prayer closet. And have you a set place that you know, man, when I go to that place, that's where me and the Lord's going to talk at. Amen? Not only that, I would say this about praying tonight. Journal about your praying. Journal about your praying, and simply put, I would say it this way, make you a prayer list. You know, a lot of people says, I'm going to pigtail on that. Set a time that you're going to pray. In other words, I'm going to pray for 10 minutes, or I'm going to pray for 15 minutes, or I'm going to pray for 30 minutes. I'm going to pray for an hour. Whatever it is, and the good thing about that is you can go on to YouTube and say, play classical music for 10 minutes, or meditation music for 10 minutes, or for 30 minutes, and it'll play that for 30 minutes, and at the end of that 30 minutes, it'll go off, and you'll know that you've prayed that 30 minutes. Or, you can take Apple Music or whatever, make you a playlist of good godly hymns, and set it for so many minutes. Are you with me? And know, hey, I'm going to pray for 30 minutes. The reason a lot of people can't pray for 30 minutes is because they never make a prayer list. In your mind, listen to what I'm fixing to tell you. Now, I promise you, we're going to get into the meat of this in just a second, but just some practical things. Your mind's going to go blank when you start praying. Your mind's going to go blank when you start praying. You're going to say, now, Lord, I pray that you'd help this and this and this. And 3 minutes into it, you're going to be done praying. You say, well, preacher, how do you know that? Because I've done it. That's why, Brother Eric. So make you a prayer list and then pray down that prayer list. You say, preacher, I got to close my eyes. You don't have to close your eyes when you pray. Matter of fact, if you're praying going down the road, I would prefer that you didn't close your eyes. All right, I might be coming towards you. You don't have to close your eyes, but, man, go down that list. Come to the church. Say, preacher, can you unlock the church? I need to come to the church and look where people say it so I can remember it in my mind. Go on to the live feed, which it's zoomed in the biggest part of the time, but go on to the live feed when the choir's singing and do a screenshot of that and zoom in and say, well, there's Robert, and there's Brother Matt, and this one plays this instrument. And write down, Tanya on the piano, Brother Ted on the guitar. Are you with me? And whenever you pray for the Sunday morning service, pray, God, I pray that you'd help Brother Matt as he leads the singing and Brother Ted as he plays the guitar. Some of y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I'm telling you what will help your prayer life. It'll not only help your prayer life, it'll help this church. Amen. Can I ask you a question? What's your Sunday school teacher's name? What's your kid's Sunday school teacher's name? Now, how much have you prayed for them before you go into Sunday morning service? Before those kids go to Sunday school, how much have you prayed? And before you complain about the Sunday school teacher, how much have you prayed for the Sunday school? Everybody all right tonight? Man, make you a list. Now, after you make that list out and you put Billy for salvation and Brandy that she'll quit smoking juju weed and whatever it is that you put down through there. Are you with me? Whenever you put it down on there, then here's what you do is you're praying down that. Guess what? You're going to see God answer it some. And so when Brandy Don't smoke the weed no more. You remember that dude in that service that night that stood up and said, I used to drink the alcohol. I used to smoke the weed. But God, you was there, wasn't you, Miss Tammy, in Tennessee when that happened. But anyway, when Miss Tammy quit smoking the weed, not Miss Tammy. Miss Tammy's not smoking weed. Brandy is. When Brandy quit, I hope there's no Brandys watching our live feed tonight. But anyway, when they stop, here's what you do. You're praying, Lord, I pray for Brent. Man, the Lord touched her. So what you do is you go out beside of her name and put March the 12th, 2025, answered. And here's what's going to happen. You can look back on that when you start getting discouraged. When you start wondering, does God really hear my prayers? You can look back and go, oh, yeah. March 25th, 2025. Boy, I remember praying for Brandon. Boy, God touched her heart and God changed her life. You know what I think I'll do? I think I'll find another Brandon and start praying for her. Journal that. Put it in there. When God answers prayers for you and when God does something special for you in your prayer life, and I promise you, it will help you. Make that prayer list, and in doing that, it will help you to pray more specifically, and it'll help you to pray longer, okay? Number, whatever we're on, I don't have these number. But I would say this, there's times when I'm praying, and again, these practical things, I'm headed somewhere. There's times that I'm praying. Matter of fact, the majority of the time that I pray, I'm setting up. You say, well, preacher, why are you not kneeling down? And tell you what happens when I kneel down. I go to sleep. You say, well, I'm wide awake. I can kneel down and pray. I bet 5 minutes into it, you'll get tired. So there's a lot of times, some of y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of times that I do my most sincere prayer, praying, setting up. Even when I go to my prayer place in the mountain, at a great big rock in the mountain that I go to, Brother Scotty, sometimes I'll start kneeling, but not long into it, you know what I do? I've got a place on that rock that I sit down at, and I open my eyes. Why? Because I go to sleep with my eyes closed. I'm just being honest with you. If I can't sleep at night, I don't count sheep. I start praying. I go to sleep faster praying than I do counting sheep. I'm just being honest with you tonight. So some things that will help you, it's nothing wrong with setting up. And it's nothing wrong with keeping your eyes open. And there's nothing wrong with reading down through your prayer list. Here's you another one, and then we'll jump into the message tonight. Practice fasting regularly in your prayer life. Practice fasting regularly in your prayer life. You remember the story of Matthew chapter number 17, verse number 20. Jesus is talking to him, and he says, if you have faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed, and it'd be moved. Then verse 21 says this, howbeit, this kind goeth not but by prayer and, there's another word in that verse, fasting. By prayer and fasting. What separates a lot of good people praying and phenomenal prayer warriors is one word, fasting. Fasting. And the Bible talks and says this, when you fast, and you've heard me preach on fasting in the past, and maybe I'll loop into fasting in this when I'm done with this, but it's not that Jesus says if you fast, he says when you fast. So he just takes it that we are going to do that. Now I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you want to see God do some miraculous things, you go to fasting and praying. You go to missing some meals. You go to turning social media off, man. You go to turning the TV off. You go to fasting and praying, and I promise you, God will do things for you. Practice fasting and praying. All right, Luke chapter number 11. There's just some practical things I wanted to give you. I'm going to read you some things that I've been reading on prayer. I'll make some comments as I go along tonight. Almost all of our prayers begin with a rush of request in which we pour out our problems, needs, and irritations to God. This tendency reinforces our focus on what troubles us and our inability to remedy these issues. This could be part of the reason why we often feel more depressed and frustrated after praying than we did before. You know what the majority of people's praying is? The majority of people's praying is talking about all the problems that they have. You know what prayer is? Prayer is a time, and I don't know if we even get the first point tonight, but prayer is a time that we do make our requests known to the Lord. Prayer is a time that we do tell Him our concerns. But let me tell you what prayer is. Prayer is a time when I talk to Him and thank Him for who He is and what He's done for me. Amen? A lot of times the reason that our prayer life is no greater than it is because our prayer life is centered around us. Lord, I'm going through this, and Lord, I need this, and Lord, I'm facing this. When our prayer life should not be centered around us, man, it should be centered around Him. It should be centered around, God, You are good. God, thank You for saving me. God, thank You for not letting me go to hell. And you know what? If you'll just go to bragging on Him in the beginning of your prayer, it'll help you in your prayer life. Think about this. Alan Redpath, the great author, said this. When we have finished our praying, we can scarcely bring ourselves to believe that our feeble words can have been heard, or that they can have made a difference in the things concerning which we have been praying. We've said our prayers, but we have not prayed. How many times do we say a little prayer, but have we really prayed? You remember the old timers would say it this way, grab a hold of the horns of the altar and not let go until you have prayed through. Until you have prayed through. You say, preacher, what do you mean? If you know what I mean, you know what I mean. When we pray through, when we know we have the ear of our Heavenly Father. What did Nehemiah say in Nehemiah chapter number 1 when he is distressed and in anguish because of the condition of Jerusalem? He said, Lord, let thine ear now be attentive to the prayer that thy servant makes unto thee. I'm going to tell you something. There's many times that we say some little old prayer, but we've never really got the ear of our Heavenly Father. The Lord's Prayer was not given just to be recited as a ritual. It is given to us as the Lord's blueprint for prayer that is acceptable to God. There is something tremendously important about the way Jesus answered the disciples' question in our text. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus replies, as recorded in Luke. Now, note what he says. Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he answered, or he said unto them, note the next word, when. When you pray, not if you pray. You know what? Jesus was just taking... don't take what I'm fixing to say the wrong way. Jesus was taking for granted that they was going to do it. That they was going to do it. You ever told your kids, hey, Olivia, when you feed the dog in the morning, make sure you leave the door open so it lets me know you have fed the dog. Not if, but when. Jesus right here is saying to the disciples, hey, boys, when you pray. Not if you pray, but when you do it. When you pray. According to Matthew chapter number 6, verse 9 through 13, he's quoted as saying, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. In other words, pray like this. The Lord's Prayer was given to show the disciples how to pray. After all, that is what they ask. That is how they should go about praying, not just the words they should use. One said this, we must recognize that there is a difference between saying the Lord's Prayer and praying the Lord's Prayer. There's a difference in saying, you know what, I've heard people say this, and please don't nobody get upset with me what I'm fixing to say, okay? Hear me out. But I've heard people say this, you know what, in our sports event, before every time we go to the field and to play or to the court and to the play or whatever we're going to do, we say the Lord's Prayer. Well, great, but did you pray? But did you pray? One thing that's a pet peeve of mine, and Don't nobody fall out with me again, but it's to see somebody read a prayer. Go to a funeral, and they're like, okay, let's pray. Well, look yonder. Praise God, I found some money in my pocket. All God's children said, I'm glad we're not taking an offering tonight. Come back, man. I'm just picking. If the Lord told me to put an offering, I would. But they read it, man. You're not praying. You're just reading something. There is a difference in saying the Lord's Prayer and praying the Lord's Prayer. Elmer Tones said it this way: the effect of prayer is not measured by how loud you pray or how long you pray, or even if you say the words of the Lord's Prayer again and again in repetitious fashion. Your prayer life will be affected if you are sincere and if you asked for the right things. In other words, if you are sincere in your approach to Him, and if you say the right things in your prayers to Him, He teaches us how to pray. Number one tonight, let's begin looking at this. Praying now that we are saved, I would say this: there is praying on the basis of a new relationship. There is a new relationship here. What did He say? He said, and He said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father. That's interesting to me. He didn't say God. He didn't say the Holy One. He said, Our Father. Jesus is stating the importance of starting our prayer with an awareness that God is our Father. When Jesus came on the scene, He addressed God only as the Father. All of His prayers address God as Father, with the exception of one. Does anybody know what it was? It's one of the seven sayings of the cross. I'll give you that. He said this: My God, my God. All other times He says Father. But at one moment, He says, My God, my God. Why? The darkness was settling on the face of the earth that day. God was turning His back on His only begotten Son. And Jesus did not call Him Father at that moment. Here's the reason why. He was not His Father at that moment, but He was His judge, because the sin of the world had been placed on Him, and He says God at that moment. But all other times He refers to Him as Father. The Gospels record His use of Father more than 60 times in reference to God. Yet in all the Old Testament, listen to this, God is referred to as Father only 14 times, and then only in a relationship to the nation of Israel. Never as an individual or a personal father. No one in the entire history of Israel had ever prayed like Jesus. Jesus transformed the relationship with God from one of a distant and an unapproachable deity to that of one in an intimate relationship with their Father. You see, before Jesus came on the scene and before the blood of Jesus was applied to us, God was a distance to us. We did not have a relationship with Him. But now that Jesus has come on the scene, now that Jesus has bled and died, now that Jesus is resurrected, now that Jesus has ascended back into the heavens and placed the blood on the mercy seat, hear me and hear me well, we don't have to say God. Now we can say Our Father which art in heaven. You see, He is God today. He is my Savior today. But as much as He is God and He is my Savior, He is my Father today. So, well, I come to teach, but I feel like preaching. Thank God I have a Father that I can go to. I have a Heavenly Father that I can approach today. The Old Testament didn't have that. Oh, but thank God for this side of Calvary. Thank God for this dispensation. Now we have that. The fact that God is our dearest friend is to be a foundational awareness in our prayer. God tells us in Galatians chapter number 4, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, listen to this, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Father embedded in the phrase our Father is a new a layer of intimate communication with God. The same closeness that exists between a child and their father is meant to be present between them and God. Just like I would go to my dad as a child and say, Dad, I'm hungry. Dad, I need this. Dad, I need that. Is the same relationship that I can have with my papa tonight. When you study Abba, Father out, that's exactly what it means. It means Papa. Yes, he's God. And we'll get to how it be his name in just a minute. But thank God there's a personal relationship. I don't have to go through the Pope with no hope. I don't have to come to you. I don't have to go to anybody else. Thank God when I bow down on my knee or I'm riding up the road or I'm at a hospital room, I can march straight into the throne room of grace and I can say, hey Dad, it's John and I need something. There's a new relationship because of Jesus tonight. We can pray on the basis. I come to teach, but man, it's hard to teach that right there. We come on a basis of a new relationship now in our prayer. Number two, there's not only praying on the basis of a new relationship, but there's praying on the basis of a new respect. A new respect. What did he say? He said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. He says to them, when you pray, hallowed be thy name. You are placing God on the throne of your heart. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed simply means this in an 1828 dictionary. Treated as sacred, reverenced. It's about putting God on the throne of our lives and on the throne of our heart as he sits on the throne in heaven. Oh yes, he is on the throne in heaven. And I'm going to tell you something, when we pray to him, yes, we can approach him as our heavenly Father, but we are to approach him with an all new respect. I've heard people praying and they've said this just in ignorance. And I don't mean that ugly, I'm just being honest. God, you've got to do this. God don't have to do nothing. I just say that again. God don't have to do nothing. God, if you would see fit to do this, we would appreciate it. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I'm going to tell you something. Whenever we pray, we better remember, yes, we have a heavenly Father, but we better remember a respect to that. He is God. He is God. To pray that his name is hallowed, it means that first and foremost, we desire our lives to reveal to others the name of Jesus and the character of God. You know, a lot of people is, and I'll probably say this again before I'm done, but a lot of people is very interested in God and Jesus being their Savior. You with me? They're very interested in him saving them from hell. They're very interested in him being their counselor. They're very interested in running to him in their time of need, but they are not interested in him being God. They're not interested in him being sovereign. They're not interested in him setting as priority in their life. Oh, there is a new relationship, but with that becomes a new respect. It's God that we talk to. When we pray tonight, may we never forget. You say, preacher, when you pray, why do you take off your hat? Because it's a respect for him. It's a respect for him. Number one, pray on the basis of a new relationship. Number two, pray on the basis of a new respect. Number three, pray on the basis of a new priority. Of a new priority. Say, preacher, what are you saying? Well, let's read it again. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, as our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. A new priority. Thy kingdom come. thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come is understanding everything we do should be to the furtherance of the gospel and to further the kingdom of God. Preacher, what do you mean by that? Our prayers should be, God, help me to further your kingdom. When we say that word, a lot of times people are afraid that we're going Mormon or we're going a different direction. No, it has nothing to do with that. The kingdom of God is in heaven. And hear what I'm fixing to say. We are held with a responsibility to take others with us to heaven. And he's saying when you pray with a new responsibility. God, help me to further your kingdom. God, help me to do more for you. It also should remind us that his kingdom is coming. Just preacher, what do you mean? In other words, the Lord's coming back. When we pray, thy kingdom come, it should remind us the Lord's coming back. Thy kingdom is coming. Hey, hear me. The Lord's coming back. You said, preacher, they've been preaching it for 2,000 years. You know what that means? We're over 2,000 years closer than we was when they started preaching it. I'm telling you, the Lord's coming back. You study Bible prophecy. You look at what's happening in our country today. I believe we're so close that we may not even see the sun come up in the morning. The Lord is coming back. So when we pray, we need to pray on the basis of a new priority. Jesus is coming. May we do everything we can do to further the gospel until he comes. Number four, and I'll stop here tonight. Praying on the basis of a new relationship. Praying on the basis of a new respect. Praying on the basis of a new priority. Number four, praying on the basis of a new, are you ready for this? Submission. Of a new submission. He said, thy kingdom come. Now watch the next words. Thy will be done. He said, when you pray, you need to pray for my will. A new submission. It is unfortunately true that the untold millions of individuals have repeated the words, thy will be done, down through the centuries without the faintest notion of what God's will is. Perhaps even more alarming is that even more people have repeated these words without any intention whatsoever of seeing to it that the Father's will be done. Listen to this. When you ask, thy will be done, you must be willing to do it right now. I read that the other day, and I kept reading past it, Brother Ramsey, and I turned and went back and read it again. Can I say it to you? When we ask, thy will be done, we must be willing to do it right now. Preacher, I want your will for my life. Or God, I want your will for my life. And God says, here's my will for your life. And yet we continue to run from it. Yet we continue not to do it. Yet we continue to offer excuse and excuse. Hello, Tokyo. And excuse and excuse. Oh, I would if it wasn't for this. Or what would that one say? Or what would this one do? Or how would that one act? Jesus just says, when you pray, pray for my will to be done. And when I show it to you, do it, man. Thy will be done. When you ask, thy will be done, you must be willing to do it right now. Notice you are not asking God to change his will or to bless your will. You're asking him to help you find and do his will for your life. One said this. Miss Tanya, come start playing softly. Jonathan Barker. Y'all catch that in a little while. I said one said this, and then I said that, and I said Jonathan Barker. In other words, I was quoting myself. Somebody else said this, though. It is not enough just to know the will of God. One must then apply it. Thy will be done is in reality a prayer of submission. According to Romans 12:2, it is our privilege to submit to that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The truth is that the cause of all the unrest, frustration, unhappiness, and sense of powerlessness in the life of a Christian can be traced back to trying to follow our own self will. Let me just read that to you again. It is not enough to know the will of God. One must then apply it. Thy will be done is in reality a prayer of submission. According to Romans 12:2, it's our privilege to submit to that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The truth is that the cause of all of the unrest, frustration, unhappiness, and sense of powerlessness in the life of a Christian can be traced back to trying to follow our own self-will. When we pray, preacher, how do I pray? Well, you pray with a new relationship. You can talk to God as your Father now. You pray with a new respect. You realize that He is holy and He is righteous. You pray with a new priority. What is the priority? That we further the kingdom of God, that we do more for Him. You pray with a new submission. God, I just want Your will to be done. You've heard me say this before, and if you've ever prayed with me in private much at all, you've heard me pray this. Now, Lord, over the next few minutes, I'm going to talk to you some, and I'll tell you what my will is, but God, ultimately, I'm interested in Your will. Sure, whenever I pray, I prayed some specific prayers. I prayed for some specific prayers for Madeline's fiance that she has now. I'm talking about down to the clothes that he had on whenever she seen him, what he was going to be wearing. But I said this, and Lord, that's my will, but more than that, I'm interested in Your will. There's nothing wrong with sharing our will before the Lord, unless it's just something plumb, in the words of Ryan, hey, stupid. Are you with me? Lord, I pray that You give my wife lockjaw because she's talking too much. I just don't know that some of y'all act like y'all prayed that before. Matt looked at Miss Mandy, and he's going to have lockjaw Sunday. Somebody pray that we figure out somebody to lead the choir because his is going to be wired shut. She's going to bust it after service. There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord. Brother Josh, there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I pray that You send Addie, a young man, that's this, 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 and this. But God, most of all, send her a saved one and Your will for her life. But we pray with a new submission. God, not mine. Not mine. But Thine be done. Can I just say this to you tonight? We're going home. I sure am glad that He's not always give me my will. And I'll take it a step further. I'm glad, and don't nobody think I'm being prideful in what I'm fixing to say. I'm glad that I was spiritual enough, Brother Scotty, to understand that my will and His will wasn't the same thing. Because some people are not spiritual enough to understand that. They think they are, and they think that they're doing right. But in all reality, can I just say this? When it's contrary to that book, it's wrong. The will of God, listen to what I'm fixing to say to you. This is deep. You might want to write this down. The will of God will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. The will of God will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. Preacher, I think it's God's will for me to marry this boy. You girls, look up in here just a minute. I think it's God's will for me to marry this boy. Well, does he line up with the Word of God? Number one, is he saved? See, you have a clear presentation of his salvation. Number two, does he have fruit of his salvation? Not just he says it and then lives like the devil and hell itself when he's away from the church. Does he have proof of it? You said, preacher, what's that got to do with the Bible? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Does he believe like we do? Does he use the Bible we do? The will of God's not going to lead you contrary to the Word of God. And you better be real careful who you date, because if you're not careful, you'll fall in a false love with them and you'll give your heart to them and your little old emotions will overtake you. And never lead you contrary to that. And when we pray, God, not my will, thine be done. Lord, I want your will, because ultimately we're living to further your kingdom. We're living to represent you.